You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. Hopefully that doesn't annoy anybody, that opening intro music. But I'm sure you can appreciate and understand, just trying to maybe make light of what is a pretty dire situation. But welcome back to the podcast. Thank you very much indeed for listening. I mean, where to start, to be honest? I suggested in the group chat earlier on today that maybe we just don't talk about football at all on this episode. Because I think we're probably all in agreement that it was, well, I mean, where do you start? It really is that bad. It was, in my opinion, one of the worst performances I think I've ever seen. You know, and of course, you know, we've lost games heavily. But for some reason, there was just something about yesterday which was just absolutely hopeless from start to finish and desperately poor and painful in many ways to watch. But then what we did do yesterday is we had our Big Strong Leicester Boys night out, which when I say it was a night out, I'm not quite sure it equates to a full night out because it was ended quite abruptly. Well, it didn't go on as long as I expected, but plenty of stories to tell from it. So we could well just talk about that. But look, Jordan, Jack and Rick are here with us. And do you know what, Rick, I am going to come straight to you. And for everyone watching on YouTube, they can see right now you are reclined on the sofa, and is it fair to say you're not feeling your sprightly best this evening? And you're muted, mate. Rick, you're on mute. sharp start. Why can't we hear Rick?
I don't think you can get it off mute either.
Stuck.
Hold on. We can unmute
him. I've tried to unmute him, but it's not working.
Right. Whilst Rick works that out. So, Rick sorts out his connection problems. We are going to leave all these in today. No edits, because we're all going to be on our best behaviour. Because I know there was a few last week, wasn't there? So, while Rick sorts this out in terms of his connection, which seems to happen every single week, we can talk about Rick and his behaviour from yesterday. Well, let's talk about the night out, shall we, before we actually talk about the football. So, Jack, we ended up in the Robert Peel, didn't we, after the game yesterday. I walked through the door. You were there. Jordan was there. Your dad was there. And then Rick was there. And yeah. Rick said he'd been there since half time. And one of my main memories I remember from when I first walked in was Rick shouting at your dad, John, what would you do? What would you do, John? You know, and pretty much everyone in the pub is looking at Rick as he swigged his pint and little bottles of ale, which he snuck in his pocket, you know, shouting at your dad. So he had an eventful night. It was very entertaining, wasn't it?
He was about half a yard away from my dad as well. I don't think it was necessary to be quite that loud. He'd also managed to be sat in a pub on his own for most of the second half and get like threatened to be thrown out. So it was rather eventful, really. It was a hell of a performance from Rick last night. Mainly that he managed to last so long. And when he does come back on stream, he owes me 40 quid for his cab home that we had to put him in. So I'll be speaking to him about that.
Yeah. My favourite part was when we eventually managed to get Rick to leave, because he wouldn't leave, even though it was quite clear abundantly for everyone that he needed to go home, was when I was escorting him out of the bar. And he turns around and looks at me and goes, "Where are we?" And we have a video of that, which made me laugh endlessly. Jordan, I'd imagine as well, you're probably far more keen to talk about Rick's antics yesterday than the game itself. Rick is back, by the way. Hopefully you can hear him.
He's back.
Are you there, Rick?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Right, one second,
mate. Sorry.
Jordan's just going to talk about you.
Go on, then.
Yeah.
Apologies for last night.
not to a face, not because I'm scared of him. Yeah, I mean, it was more entertaining than the game, put it that way. I snuck off at about 9 o'clock, I think, because I realised that I'd only had a pie all day and I felt horrendous. So if I felt bad this morning, I'd dread to think what state Rick was in. I'm just amazed he wasn't sick in the Uber, to be honest. I think that's...
He might have been. He might not have told me, or he can't remember.
I can't remember. I don't remember.
So we had to find your wife on Instagram.
Yeah.
Message her, because we don't have her number. Message her to tell her we'd put you in an Uber, and we think we got your address right, but I've got no idea, because you just kept shouting, early 10 at me. I was like, it could be anywhere. I then said your address, and you were like, yeah. So anyway, your poor wife, and eventually, like, you can track the Uber on the way there. So we could see it was in some cul-de-sac somewhere, but it was stuck for about 7 minutes, and it wouldn't end the journey. So we were, like, frantically messaging your wife, being like, is he home? She was like, no, I've got no idea where he is. So I'd love to get your recollections of what happened, if you do have any.
None whatsoever. I remember meeting you all in the Robert Peel. Met your dad, it was great to meet. I vaguely remember us going somewhere else.
Can you remember meeting Gordon Strachan?
No.
I think you describe the landlady in the Robert Peel as a female Gordon Strachan.
She didn't like me, did she?
Oh, I wonder why. So Rick, you very nearly didn't make this evening's recording. Is that correct? You know, today's been a struggle for you, hasn't it?
It's been awful, I'm going to be honest with you. But what's made it even worse is my daughter opted to eat some raw sausages yesterday, apparently.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and guess who was on Poe Brown Watch when she did her first pant filler? Me. I can still smell it now. It's horrendous. So I was doing that. I'd be sick whilst that was happening. So, no, it's been a horrible day. I've got really bad indigestion. I've cried a couple of times.
Oh, mate, stop it. I feel bad for laughing.
Even the dog wants nothing to do with me. She's scurrying off into a basket. It's just one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of them. It absolutely is. We should probably do this one.
Everyone's had a drink.
Apologies for last night. So
you had to do much grovelling to the wife. Was she impressed by your state, or is she just used to it?
She's used to it, but she said I kept trying to run a bath when I got in, but refused to get in it, and it was just a cold bath. There was no warm in it. So I don't know whether I was trying to do an ice bath like you boys. But yeah, just she's not overly amused with me, but there's been worse.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, look, let's talk a little bit about the football. There is plenty of music, and also I put it on Twitter, didn't I, for music suggestions, and there were loads. So first of all, thanks for all that. But also, I'd imagine it's one of them occasions where it's really quite easy. There's a long list of possible options of song choices. We did go with that Paul Johnson down. It is tongue in cheek. We are trying to make light of a situation. I mean, if you want to go to the extremes, my mum suggested this, and I said, you know what, mum, that's probably a little bit too much. But then Jack went and suggested the exact same thing, and it was this one. Yeah, that's a real song by Muse. I'd never heard that till today, Jack.
I hadn't heard it either. That was sent to me by Graham Smith of Fox's Pride. So thanks to Graham. Yeah, I had a nap this afternoon. I woke up and he'd sent that to me, and I couldn't really make head or tail of why he'd sent me a song saying we are fucking fucked apart from the football. But I then checked our Twitter account and saw the deluge of suggestions, all excellent suggestions, by the way.
Yeah, no, they were. And also the title of today's podcast is as well. As of yet, I think it is undecided. But my suggestion, and when I say my suggestion, this actually came from somebody who messaged me, and you know, I'm sure we'll get onto it, but the news that James Maddison decided to delete his Twitter account following the game at the weekend. And you know, if you go on somebody's Twitter account and when it has been deleted, the words that you will see in front of you is something went wrong. And I thought that was quite fitting for the title of today's podcast. So whoever sent that to me on Twitter, that one may well get used. But we'll have a chat about which one we end up going with. Look, there is the game, but Jack, am I also right in saying that as we record, there's been news about
breaking news? Breaking news.
Can we do this? Jesse Marsh, have we got news?
Yeah, but Jesse Marsh has turned us down.
Can you do it like Jim White for me, please?
Oh, hi there, Scottish fan. That's a terrible Scottish accent. Joel can do a Scottish accent. Rick can definitely do a Scottish accent.
He wants to be Jim White.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do it. I know Jim. He's a good bloke.
He's a great bloke.
I can't believe that. It's too Scottish, that, isn't it? Too Scottish for Jim.
Yeah.
Well, I can believe it. That's the thing. I can believe he's turned it down.
So anyway, back to the news. Jesse Marsh has turned down Leicester.
Is this the very definition of mixed emotions? So on the one hand, right, I didn't want him anywhere near the football club.
Same.
On the other hand, we've been turned down by Jesse Marsh. So, like,
but I'm hoping
we can't even get a terrible manager to manage us.
But I'm hoping that this is something to do with the contract length, right? You know, if Leicester have now decided, because I mean, we don't know for sure, do we? I've not actually read the article, so look, I mean, I probably should do it at some point. But you know, the rumours were that it was a 3-year deal on the table. If Leicester have now decided they don't want to offer him a 3-year deal, and then he's turned us down, then I'm absolutely okay with that. If that's the case,
Jake, if you read the article, it's in the Telegraph.
Yeah, tell us more, mate.
By Sam Wallace and John Percy, so it's got to be fairly accurate. Yeah. It says he watched the game against Bournemouth.
I went, fuck this.
And then he spoke to his coaching staff, and apparently he disagrees with the profile of player that we'd need to get us back out of the Championship, which is code for exactly what Jack said. He's seen us playing for not a fucking chance on managing them.
Do we think, presumably, you know, like the club think we can get away by signing average bad players? Jesse thinks, no, you actually need to sign some good players. Like that, maybe that's the disagreement, because we haven't signed many good players for a while. So maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, but Leeds have got half the American team and the ones he managed at Salzburg. So there's not many other players that Jesse Marsh can sign, is there? So, I mean, look, you know, joking aside, I think that's good news. It's still obviously...
It's just bad news and irrelevant news.
Well, it is. The thing is, obviously we need a manager, and I don't think that could have been any more apparent you know, during the game against Bournemouth on Saturday. As I said, you know, it's one of the worst performances that I've ever seen. And look, it's not the two coaches' fault, but you could quite clearly see that that was a team not being managed by anyone. You know, there was no obvious tactics. There was no patterns of play. There was no nothing. The substitutions, I mean, any one of us could have done that in terms of what we saw on Saturday. They desperately need a new manager. We desperately need a new voice, you know, because, you know, we've now spoken about, you know, Brendan Rodgers saying, oh, well, should we have sacked him anyway? Well, look, you know, because we have had a little bit of stick at times about, you know, being loyal to Brendan, and then now people saying, well, we should have never sacked him in the first place. And look, there's a million opinions and voices, you know, trying to kind of get themselves out there at the moment. But the reality is that I like Brendan Rodgers as a manager, but it got to the point that I felt like we had to make a change. We've sacked Brendan Rodgers, but we've not made a change. So my point is that if they weren't going to actually make a change, then you may as well have actually stuck with Brendan Rodgers, because in my opinion, there's no way that those performances against Villa and Bournemouth would have been that bad if Brendan Rodgers had still been in charge. You know, if the board had decided they were going to sack Brendan Rodgers, keep him in position until you find a new one. Don't sack him and then put Sadler and Stoud in charge for two arguably of your most important games of the season and end up with 0 points. So that's it. We just needed a new voice, but I just didn't want that new one to be Jesse Marsh. You know, we need somebody to get us through until the end of the season and then reassess them options there, not to give Jesse Marsh a 3+ year contract. You know, a guy who hasn't even lasted a year in his last two jobs. So how he thinks he can go around demanding a 3-year contract is just absolutely beyond me. Rick, dare I ask, what do you make of the news?
I'm delighted. It's the only thing I've smiled at all day. No, I mean, yeah, I was not looking forward to having him. I'd rather have him than Stowell and Sadler, if I'm honest, because, as you say, from the little bits I do remember yesterday, that performance was horrifying. There was just nothing. It is worse than under Rodgers, which is beggar's belief. I just don't know. Are they tactically inept, Stowell and Sadler? Do they just not know how to convey a game plan and message? But we just look, without shadow of a doubt, the worst team in the league, worse than Southampton, easily. I mean, Southampton have done the double over us, so, you know, Bournemouth now, yeah, of course. So it's pathetic. The thing is, someone like Jesse Marsh, I've got major concerns about how good he is. I like the energy he brings, and it short term, I think it might have done okay. And that's sort of where we're at. We've got to hoodwink someone, even if we, you know, don't want them for longer than 10 games, well, 8 games or whatever we've got left. You might have to go with giving them a few year deal and then sacking them if you don't want them anyway. I mean, it's no hard feelings. Give them a year's salary and off they go. But yeah, I don't know where we turn to next, because apparently the only person who said they're willing to come in until the end of the season is Dean Smith. And the only good thing about Dean Smith is Shakespeare. But then, you know, we've been there, haven't we? And
is that a good thing, Shakespeare?
No, probably not. Only a modicum of comfort, maybe. And he carries two balls particularly well, doesn't he, under his arms. He's always done well doing that. Yeah, I mean, someone joked Robbie Nielsen's left Hearts today.
I saw that.
Oh, imagine it.
If he's anywhere
near... he was here under Pearson, wasn't he? He played about 20 games under Pearson.
I think Levine signed him.
Yeah, you're probably right. And he was, he was bang average, wasn't he?
Yeah, I remember his debut. I think he was away at Sheffield United. And I just remember thinking, Christ. But he had a long throw.
I don't think it was Levine, because that was Mabry.
2009.
Yeah, good point. Alan Mabry.
I think it was Pearson's first stint.
No, you might be right. But Jordan, on this game plan or lack of from Saturday, because there's loads of things to go out here. I mean, Rick is absolutely right that the performance was dreadful, and Bournemouth have taken 6 points from us. Southampton have done the same. You know, I thought Bournemouth were so average yesterday, but I mean, with all due respect to them, they're getting everything out of themselves. You know, it's they're just they haven't got great players. And they, and I was saying this before the game, that we're coming up against the Bournemouth side today who are fighting for their lives. You know, they're fighting for their futures, you know, whether they're Premier League players or Championship players. There is so much on the line for Bournemouth, where for us, there's just not. You know, those players, they know they're not going to be here next season. And now you're asking them to fight, you know, for this football club. You know, and then you couple that with the fact that there's not actually a manager at the moment. And also, they're devoid of any kind of confidence. Was it now 9 games without a win? I said before the game, and I hate feeling like that and saying that beforehand, but I said I'm fearing the worst. You know, I fully expect to lose this game of football today. And then hearing Adam Sadler after the game yesterday saying that Harry Suter had been rested and that Buba Sumari had been brought into the side to add energy, I couldn't quite believe what I was hearing. I mean, so Harry Suter went on international break, didn't he, with Australia, and picked up a knock, and we were worried about it. But Australia then didn't play him and allowed him to come back, I presume, with the intention so he was fit to play at the weekend. So I'd imagine he was okay to play, and we believe he was. What on earth are we doing resting players, you know, when we've only got 8 games left of a season and we're desperate for wins? You know, and the option or the alternative is bringing Daniel Amati in, and you've got Soyuncu, Evans and Suter available. And then for Buba Sumare, I mean, look, you know, I've openly not been a fan and been a critic of him of him all season. But for anyone who is a fan of him, you couldn't possibly argue that he brings energy to any football side. I mean, everything from start to finish of what I saw and then what I heard afterwards just beggared belief for me.
Yeah, if we're talking, we'll start with Sadler and Stow. Just obviously, we didn't do the pod after the Villa game. Starting with the Villa game, we had you sacked a manager. You want this new manager bounce. What I don't understand is why anyone would set up a team to sit in their own half. I know Villa are on a good run, but you're at home. Press high up the pitch. Get the ball forward quickly when you've got it. And we just sat there, camped out in our own half. We had 35% possession. That's got to be the lowest we've had definitely this season, I'd imagine. I can't remember us having less than 35% possession. Mm. And then against Bournemouth, well, it was just even worse. It was absolutely wretched. But how anyone can think that Dan Amati should start over Suits is absolutely staggering.
Yeah, it is.
And Sumari, I was thinking about this morning. I think he's the worst player I've ever seen play for Leicester in the Premier League. He's absolutely fucking shite. He's garbage. Wow. Anyone whoever scouted him, I'd love to hear their reasoning, what they've seen in that player. Because even in Ligue 1, I can't imagine him being any good. He is so slow and lazy. It is unbelievable. And he's supposed to be playing centre mid.
That's my problem with him, Jordan. It's an apparent lack of effort, you know. And yeah. I said this to Jack yesterday. There was a moment in the first half where we were on the break, and it was a good opportunity for us. And we had a couple of options in front of him, and look, he played the pass, and the pass wasn't quite right. You know, I'm not going to get on his back for that because you know, you make mistakes. Every pass can't be perfect. But the ball then kind of ricochets and bounces back towards him, and it goes to the Bournemouth player next to him. The Bournemouth player gets the ball and bombs up the pitch, and Bournemouth on the break. And Sumari just jogged back, made no effort. Bear in mind, it's him that's given the ball away, and he's the closest man to the man with the ball, and he made no effort whatsoever. And that's before I even get onto the amount of times he was like just tripping over the ball, you know, giving the ball away. He was absolutely useless yesterday. And again, this is a player who, again, I don't know exactly, but is earning around £100,000 a year.
I mean, that's just staggering.
Absolutely blows my mind that somebody has given him that contract. And we had an opportunity to sell him in the summer after last season where he showed nothing really. And we decided to keep him.
Yeah, it's absolutely staggering. And then, so, you know, you've got those two. I assume that Suits and Mendy were probably injured, but obviously not. And then how you can start Jamie Vardy after his performance, not only against Villa, but this season as a whole, it's quite evident. You know, he's the best player we've ever had. He can't run. All he does is stand in the centre circle, pointing at other players to close down. At one point yesterday, Maddison was in the nine, pressing the back four, and Vardy was just stood in the 10 doing fuck all. And any time the ball goes up to him, he can't hold it up. It keeps coming straight back. He cannot play another game for us this season.
Yeah,
he's that bad. And I don't think he'd be any good in the Championship. And he's earning 120 grand a week. Now,
yeah, no, I know.
Obviously, I was a big Rodgers fan, and you know, two lads came up to me yesterday and said, "Well, maybe you were right about Rodgers, because I've been saying about the board, we've gone from being the best run football club in the country, arguably, to the worst in 2 years." Now, back in the summer, you know, things started to go wrong after the Forest game, but Rodgers is saying this squad needs investment, right? So you either back him or you sack him. Because he doesn't want to work in those conditions. So you get rid of him then. And then what I can't fathom for the life of me is that the start of the season, we had the first seven games. How they've not sounded any managers out at that point and thought, we might have to sack the manager here. We need to sound some managers out who might want the job. Now, we had a bit of a run. And then the same things happened again after the World Cup. And I can't believe for the life of me. And I know they've given Rodgers as long as they could. And then there was 10 games left. They've thought, right, we've got to make a change, maybe to appease the fans, take heat off themselves. They were claiming that the players didn't want him. Well, fuck the players. They're all out of contract. They don't want to be here and they don't give a toss. And the ones that do want to be here ain't good enough.
Yeah, and it's
an absolute mess. And then to sack the manager, fine. But you've got two home games where you've got in two goalkeeper coaches who, quite frankly, haven't got a clue. The tactics have been non-existent. And now we've got a manager that Leeds didn't want turning this down, and a manager that Villa didn't want, who is now supposed to be the saviour. So from top to bottom, it is a complete mess. And it stems from the board. It's their fault. They should have either got rid of Rodgers sooner. When they did get rid of Rodgers, they haven't got a backup plan. They haven't got a contingency plan. They're delaying every decision. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they're changing their mind left, right and centre. And it's an absolute shambles. And then that goes back to the contracts. Because like you said, Jake, the players aren't fighting. You know, you look at Bournemouth. Well, any team down there. I didn't actually see Leeds today. I know they got battered, but Palace were obviously down there as well. The players just don't care. It's so obvious to see. And you see them at the end of the game yesterday. They were almost, they were in like a huddle at the end of the game and they almost didn't know what to look.
They didn't know what to do, did they? No, they didn't.
No, and obviously Madison's made a mistake. We might come on to the captains. Your two captains in the last two games have cost us both games on their own. Ndidi was captain, gave the ball away. Madison was captain, gave the ball away. Both are not captains. Both probably won't be here next season. No leadership whatsoever. No accountability at the football club. And we are going to finish bottom of the league.
I think we may well do. And look, Jack, you know, no signings in the summer or as good as. No manager lined up. No contracts sorted out. I mean, it is at that point now, isn't it, where, you know, I said this at full time yesterday where people were saying, you know, I can't remember exactly what it was, but they were chanting at the player saying basically what a load of rubbish.
What the fucking hell was that?
That's it. For me, it's. I mean, obviously the players play a role in this. Of course they do, because they didn't play very well. But for me, the energy should now be directed at the football club because of them reasons. You know, the apparent or what it appears of lack of anything, any kind of inaction or any, you know, decisiveness, just anything coming from the top of this football club appears to like nothing's happened for like 2 years. And for me, the energy has to be directed that way.
I think you're right about how long it's gone back. I was thinking today, like, this hasn't just happened. We haven't just become shit overnight. We've become steadily worse for the period of about 2 years. So you go back to the start of last season, we won the Community Shield in the same week Fofana broke his leg. And then actually ever since then, we've got steadily worse. So we didn't start that season particularly well. We went to West Ham and got absolutely battered. Vestergaard gets injured as soon as we've signed him. So this club has been at its best when we've been properly decisive. So Puel wasn't good enough. We went 2 days later, got Rodgers at like action. When in the summer, then, you know, Perez becomes available. I know Perez wasn't a particularly good signing, but we were really decisive about who we went after and what we were doing. We seem to be absolutely paralyzed by indecision. So, you know, all the talk last year was that the club were, you know, gambling on getting in Europe again because that's what they wanted to be. They wanted to, you know, challenge the top six. If we finished eighth and that is not good enough, then you sack the manager as a result of that. You don't care what other people say. That is the aspiration for this football club. That's what we should do. You don't do this sort of halfway out. I mean, the summer was just bizarre. Like, and I don't even, whether there was or whether there wasn't a conversation with Rodgers, there obviously wasn't a very constructive one because he wasn't happy about it. The communication line seemed to have completely broken down between him and the ownership. If he's coming out and going, I need six new players, someone needs to tell him, stop saying that because we don't have any money. But they didn't. They just let him say it. And then he has to come out at the end of the season and go, well, why haven't we signed anyone? Oh, right, it's a reset of culture. And then he looks like an absolute prat. And I know he's particularly good at looking like a prat and he doesn't need a lot of help sometimes. But it's just, I can't get over the fact that this rot has been so onset. I look at two clubs for me who we've been ahead of but have had the same challenges as us and are absolutely fine. Villa are on the cusp of Europe. When Villa sacked their manager, they were on the same number of points as us. They spent a lot of money to get Gerrard down from Scotland, not dissimilarly to us. They spend more money than us. They don't earn as much money as us. They might not spend as much money on wages. That's another thing. They go out and get Emery. I wasn't necessarily a big fan of Emery. I didn't think it was a great appointment. I mean, more fool me, because he's been a very, very good appointment. Brighton have had to go and sell all their best players. They have a proper plan when their players leave. I forgot about Trossard leaving today because I was watching the Liverpool-Arsenal game. I mean, what they've had to deal with and where they are, that is properly run and properly planning. We seem to have lost any idea of contingency planning. And I think that's, you know, come home to roost in the last week. You can sack Rodgers. Fine. Like we all agreed that was probably the right thing to do. You must have some semblance of a plan on who you're going to get in. You can't just expect the caretaker to, I mean, who are both goalkeepers, as Jordan rightly said. One of them's played no professional football in his entire career. To get a turn out of that. And we've been worse in the last two games. It is so frustrating because it's been going on for so long. And, you know, it's less than a year since we were in Eindhoven. And the decline has just accelerated and accelerated. And for me, you know, when we're looking at managers now, I'm almost getting to the stage of just don't appoint anyone, because the summer is going to be massive. If we make the wrong choice short term, that could paralyze us for a lot longer. So actually, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but maybe just accepting that we're getting relegated and getting ourselves in the best possible chance to appoint the best person in the summer might be a better thing than appointing some absolute twat now who we have to sack again in a year's time.
Yeah, well, that is the fear, isn't it? That, you know, that to find a good manager right now, they're very unlikely to take the job, because if we are relegated, which there is a very now good chance that we will be, that looks dreadful for their CV, and they're not going to want to manage in the Championship because they're a good manager. So the reality is, if you are going to appoint somebody, the only way that it works for both parties is if it's an interim until the end of the season, and that they get the job on a permanent if they are successful in keeping us up. But even then, that's incredibly difficult to do, because not many good managers are out there right now, and they're going to want a longer commitment like what Jesse Marsh did, and Jesse Marsh isn't even that good. But yeah, just the lack of action from the board has just been, is absolutely breathtaking. It genuinely is. You know, these are people who earn, you know, huge amounts of money. It's their full-time job. You're thinking, right, so if you're not looking for new managers, or if you're not signing new players, if you're not sorting out contracts, what on earth are you doing other than just scouring Twitter, looking for bad things being said about you and banning fans unnecessarily? You know, there's so much energy, I feel, being directed in the wrong areas by the football club. There's been so many own goals, you know, PR-wise this season by the football club. And there just feels like a massive disconnect between the fan base, you know, and the ownership, when at times like this, they need the fans more than anything. And, you know, Rick, before the game yesterday, you know, we had the TIFO, didn't we, from Union FS, which was great. And do you know what? I might get some stick for this. They brought the clappers back, and actually I thought that was a good idea because I think it did add something. I genuinely did. You know, but they tried, didn't we? And we tried, and I was thinking, do you know what? The first 10 minutes, you know, we can play a role here and help the team out. You know, just like I used the example a couple of times, at the back end of last season, Everton, the Everton fans were brilliant. And I genuinely think that they played a huge factor in keeping them up last season. You know, it probably wasn't Frank Lampard and his wonderful managerial ability. It was, I feel like it was the fans. And, you know, I feel that the club at the moment just, yeah, so many times it's been own goals when they need us and they need us onside. We tried yesterday and we genuinely did. But after 10 minutes, after 15 minutes, you could just sense that the players just, you could just get that feeling, couldn't you, mate, that the players just, they didn't have that fight, they didn't have that direction, and there's only so much we can do really, isn't there?
Yeah, obviously, what was it, 2014-15, the great escape then. I mean, the crowd were electric in those final nine games. But, you know, it comes, if the energy's on the pitch, we'll get behind them, won't we? And we can try and rouse it like we did in the opening spell of the game. But it's just so difficult to maintain that, isn't it? When they're not doing anything on the pitch and they're making silly mistakes like Maddison did yesterday and NDD on Tuesday, it's difficult to keep the atmosphere going when that's happening. I don't know. We obviously do have our part to play, because if we can somehow drag us over the line, then we've got to try and do that. But, you know, a lot of the players and managers will always say it's down to them to get the fans to be behind them. And that's inevitable, really. But, yeah, I mean, it's just everything just feels, it's just tragic. It really is, from where we've got to as well. I just find it so overwhelming to consider relegation and how we pick up the pieces, because it almost feels like, what's the point? You know, we've done what we've done in the last 9 years and we still can't maintain being a solid Premiership team, Premier League team for more than 9 years. If we can't do it from that position, we're never going to. So it almost feels like, what's the point? Which is ridiculous, yeah. Because that, you know, we're all still going to support Leicester, because what else is there to do? But it's just horrible. And I just don't see how we get out of it.
We've
got to get a manager. We've got to.
But I just don't know if we can. I just don't know if we can, for all the reasons we've said. You know, the club have just acted too late. And, you know, the position that we're in now, who in their right mind is going to take it? You know, we've discussed, didn't we, like some of the managers abroad. Rick, it's quite apparent that the club just is just not on their radar.
They don't, no. They always look for Premier League experience, yeah, don't they, of sorts.
So it's going to be that same list and that merry-go-round of these hugely uninspiring names. And we don't want them, do we? We don't want them.
No, I mean, the only I think they've got to look for somebody who, if the inevitable happens and we do go down, that it's a manager that won't mind managing in the Championship. And that's somebody who's probably, it's a step up to come into the Premier League. But also, you know, they're going to be paid handsomely, whether it's Premier League or Championship. They'll still be on a few million a year. So there's going to be plenty of dynamic, young, progressive managers out there that would still come to us. I do believe they would. You know,
we'll be a big draw in the Championship.
Massive, of course we will.
If Burnley can get someone like Kompany in, I don't know, there's other reasons for why they did that. I don't think, you know, I still think we can get someone decent. I think it requires us to be a little bit more imaginative and not get fed a list by a load of agents.
Yeah.
Which...
But that's what it feels like is happening, Jack. It doesn't feel like they're going out to find a manager. It's like, say, for instance, with Rodgers, they identified, they wanted Brendan Rodgers and then got him. And now it feels like they don't know who to get.
And I don't get this, right? Because the club spends... the club employs 1,000 people, by the way. That's a hell of a lot of people, and going down for the Premier League I wouldn't like to speculate, but I'm assuming when you lose half your revenue, that create some challenges in places. We spend, I don't know how much we spend on scouting, but we have scouts everywhere. Why don't we scout managers?
Yeah, 100%.
You should always, so Martin George, who used to be chairman all the time, said you should always have two or three at any one point who you would move in to be manager, because your managers are either 3 games from getting poached or 3 games from getting sacked. And yep, it just doesn't seem like we've had any. We gave Rodgers the keys, which, you know, at one point looked like absolutely the right thing to do. We probably gave him too much control because we let him bring in his own doctors and his own scouts and everything else. And he ripped up the blueprint a little bit. And we've probably tried to wrestle control back from him a little bit, which he's not liked. But why we haven't, why there is no sort of scouting for managers, I can't get my head around. Why there wasn't an evolution of the coaching staff? You know, like Chris Davies has been there for a long time as his number two. Colo obviously went to Wigan, which was possibly a good thing for us because he's turned out to be absolutely useless at Wigan. But there should have been some involvement. There should have been a plan to almost like get someone through as the next manager in a way we've done previously. If you remember when we went down under Dave Bassett previously, we let Mickey Adams then take over, who turned out to be a very good championship manager. So there's some forward planning there, but there just doesn't seem like there's been any forward planning. It was just give Rodgers the keys and see what happens. And then we remove Rodgers and actually go, has he made us look good for a good 2 or 3 years? Yeah, probably he has. And now we look, you know, hopeless without him. You know, we look dreadful with him, but in a week, you know, the only person that's come out of the club with any credit really in the last week is Brendan Rodgers, which is a ridiculous thing to say, given that, true, you know, he's part of this.
Yeah, no, you're right. And Jack, I agree with everything you've just said. I mean, you know, without going over the same ground, that you know, it just blows my mind that the lack of action. That's what makes this hurt most of all, because we just should not be in this position. You know, success in the Premier League is difficult to come by, and everyone's after the same thing, and you know, lots of teams are spending money. But the reality is that Leicester had the greatest opportunity in their history to establish themselves as a top half club, you know, off the back of a miracle, yes, of course, with the Premier League. But just look at, I mean, if you want to go back that far, I know it was a different regime as such in terms of the coaching, but even that summer window after the Premier League title, how he completely and utterly balls that up. You know, within 12 months, every single player had either left the club permanently or on loan. You know, and then with the 2 fifth place finishes again, you know, and the FA Cup win, the revenue that came into the football club and the opportunity to establish itself for the first time, you know, as a genuine contender was there. It was literally there. The goal was open. Yet somehow they've just turned around and gone back the other way. You know, and the inaction again, you know, Jordan, you can look at this season, you know, Kasper Schmeichel, that situation. Now, look, I know we've heard stories since that maybe he wasn't as popular as maybe we thought he was when he was at the club, but still he was the club captain and he was a huge personality, you know, and that rumour that he was going to leave didn't just come out of nowhere. So the fact that they then allowed that to happen with a week to go of the season and then not replace him. Now, I know, I think we know that it was Rodgers' decision to stick with Danny Ward. He wanted to give him a go. But, you know, to lose a personality like that in the dressing room and not replace him now just feels like a ridiculous decision. And I mentioned this again, you know, at the weekend to you guys, even with Wesley Fofana. You know, why did we let him go, you know? I know that, again, people will talk about the finances, etc. But we saw with Brighton in the summer, or in January, so with Moises Caicedo, Arsenal were coming with money. They just said, no, he's not for sale. He's not for sale. You know, if you want to sign him, come in the summer. You know, I don't know why Leicester just said to Chelsea, or didn't say to Chelsea, he isn't for sale. Wesley Fofana would have sulked for a couple of weeks, but eventually would have put his big boy pants on and wanted to play football again. And I just think that, Jack, I think there was something you wanted to say as well. But, you know, as you can tell, I'm kind of just so angry and frustrated, and just there's so many things. It's just the list is endless, isn't it, where we've gone so wrong constantly.
Yeah, I'll let Jordan speak because I can't actually remember what I was going to say. Apart from on Schmeichel, I absolutely agree with you. I don't know what's been reported. I'm pretty certain Rodgers would have wanted a replacement.
Yeah.
Because I know I've heard him say he doesn't think Ward is good enough. So not directly through through other people and stuff. So I think he would have wanted a key. And letting Schmeichel go was fine. Like, you can let players go. Letting Schmeichel and Fofana go, not a very good idea. Letting Schmeichel and Fofana go and not replacing your club captain is a terrible idea.
Mm. And when we've said it repeatedly about, you know, a lack of personalities, Jordan, in the dressing room, and, you know, that couldn't have been any more apparent again on Saturday. And I feel desperately sorry for James Maddison, because I think I'm right in saying he's the sixth player to have the captain's armband this year. And he has shown leadership qualities at times this season, particularly, you know, with his post-match interviews. And, you know, he has been a bit of a talisman. Or he has been a talisman. You know, the player we've turned to. But it doesn't necessarily then make you a good captain. And, you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that since he has had the armband, his performances have dropped off somewhere. Now, it may well be a coincidence. We don't know. But I feel desperately sorry for him that he was given the captain's armband yesterday. He was then at fault for the goal itself. And, you know, we've now had this drama of, you know, him coming off Twitter because of the abuse he's probably received. I'm not sure if that was the reason or not. We're not going to know. But we've spoken about this before, haven't we, of the lack of personalities and characters in that dressing room. There wasn't one on that football pitch yesterday. And the club captain, Johnny Evans, haven't heard him speak once this season. I know he didn't play yesterday, but is there isn't anyone, is there? There's no one, you know, and allowing Schmeichel to go, to give it to Johnny Evans, to give it to Albrighton. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you can have a football team without anyone who's like a leader. I don't know.
Well, on Maddison, I'm going to stop short of saying I feel sorry for him. But, it, you know, it's like if he doesn't do something, we've lost. And that weight on his shoulders is immense. And now Barnes looks like he's going to be out with a hamstring injury. That'll only intensify. But, you know, to Rick's point, like he says, I think the frustrating thing is we would have been 10 years in the Prem next year. And obviously, like you said, we've been in the best position in our history. And you know, it does feel like, what's the point? But in a wider way, you know, I said on, for anyone who listened to the Twitter spaces, but I don't think people realise what we actually have achieved, because outside the top six, it's so difficult to maintain a consistent challenge for Europe with the revenue that we make. And you look, I'm sure I read the other day Manchester United owe £1 billion. And you know, Chelsea,
yeah. Have you seen their budgets today? It's
Chelsea, they lost double what we lost, and they make double what we lost. So,
yeah. And you know, they're the clubs that you're competing with, and they're the clubs that people expect us to be competing with now because of what we've achieved. And
I'm not sure they do, though, Jordan.
Honestly, people say, "Well, we've got the seventh highest wage bill in the country." That's what their argument is for.
I'd make that same argument. If we've got an average weekly wage of around 84,000, you know, and again, I know it's not as straightforward and as simple as that, but if you look at teams like Brentford and Brighton and Fulham, they haven't got anyone earning that kind of money. I mean, Fulham may have, say, for instance, Mitrovic or whatever, but the money that has been spent on that squad, A, is so countless players who are on contracts they should never, ever have earned, and other players who are actually good enough, they're just not showing it, you know. And, you know, when you are spending that much money, I do think that we should expect that team to be in the top half of the Premier League. And that's my expectation, not 19th.
We certainly shouldn't be in the bottom three, that's for sure. But, you know, there is a lot of moving parts. And the reason that they're on those contracts is because of what they delivered and what Rodgers got out of them. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but as it's turned out, we've put a lot of players on long-term contracts on high wages who have probably thought, I don't want to be here anymore. I can't do anymore at Leicester City. Now, the club should have moved them on. You know, they say about, well, we wouldn't have got in the market, we wouldn't have got the money that we should have got for Tielemans. Well, you're going to lose him for free in the summer, so there's 40 million you've lost. You know, same with Maddison. He's an 80 million pound player. Ordinarily, under a normal contract, he'll probably go for half that. So they've gone away from this model of selling the best player and reinvesting it. And then this summer, they're saying
even Pratt and Tomori, like they messed about with them in the summer.
Move them on.
Neither of them wanted to be here, and all of a sudden we've changed their mind on both of them, and they both contributed the square root of fuck all season.
Well, Roger,
I mean,
said,
Pratt did a lovely pirouette on, you know, 88 minutes to go backwards yesterday, which is probably the highlight of his season. But I'm sorry, Dennis.
But Rodgers clearly doesn't rate Sumari, and he clearly didn't rate, he doesn't rate Pratt. But the club wouldn't cut their losses and sell them. They'd rather have kept them and let them run the contract down and pay them an extraordinary amount of money. And then, you know, Rodgers came out actually and said about Pratt, he's going to be integral this season. Well, he's, I think he's,
what started about one game, two. So you choose the other one as well. I can't remember if you've mentioned it, but why have we stuck around with him?
They should have sold him.
Right, are you going to play him? No, I'm not going to play him. Right, get okay. Well, we'll just get rid of him then.
Same with Vestergaard.
Well, what's he doing there? He's just stinking out the changing room and just being a miserable fuck.
And Bertrand's ran his contract down, and he's been missing in action for 18 months. So these are the kind of characters you've got at the training ground in the squad, and a manager has to manage these kind of people. It's not that easy. And, you know, again, to your point about Schmeichel, they're saying about, well, we needed to get him off the wage bill. Well, you've not replaced him. You've let the best keeper you've ever had go, and you've replaced him with Danny Ward, who, again, like, Rodgers didn't rate him.
Talk about his contract as well.
For what it's worth, I think Iversen looks like he could be a decent goalkeeper. But Rodgers didn't have a choice. He has to play Danny Ward because he can't risk playing Iversen. And now, obviously, it's a bit too late. He's realised, right, this bloke's rubbish. So he put Iversen in. And then, you know, again, to your point about Fofana, it's like we'd never have got bullied like that in the transfer market before.
No, we've let
him go, ended up with Evans, who's a crisp packet. He's always injured. Soyuncu, the manager, didn't like, and Vestergaard. So the club have happily gone into the season with, well, they signed Fez, but they've gone into the season with Dan Amati. And am I missing another centre half?
No.
That's all our centre halves, isn't it?
So you've got into the season in January.
Yeah. So you've let Fofana go. And it's just, it's like Rick says, it's like, what's the point? What is the point? Because for me, next season, we're as likely to end up in League One again as get promoted. You know, you look at Sunderland, another one of Congerton's former clubs, where it ended up with loads of contracts on huge wages, like Jack Rodwell on 50 grand a week in League One. That's no coincidence. And we've got to sell any good players to get some money. We've got to sell the good players and let all the lads out of contract go. And we could, you know, we're going to lose hundreds of millions in TV rights. If we don't come back at the first attempt, the parachute payments have gone. We still owe that Australian bank loads of money.
Yeah.
We could easily end up in League One again. And, you know, anyone who says, oh, maybe it'll be a good thing to go in the Championship, it will be an absolute disaster. It will be a disaster. And
the only thing I would say is we don't have people that many on long contracts. Half the squad's contracts are up by the end of next year, which is part of the problem we're in now, because they all know they're going. The players that are on longer contracts are actually more of the ones that you would want to stick around, because they're generally better players.
The newer signings. And in terms of the manager, you know, I think we have, I said the other day, I think it was probably the right thing to do to sack Rodgers after Palace, because it was the last roll of the dice. It's the only thing the board could do.
Yeah.
Because they let it fester and get to this situation. But, you know, hindsight, like I say, is a wonderful thing. If you look back at the last two games, you've been better off keeping the manager and saying, right, if he takes us down, let him be the one to put his stamp on the squad and get us back up. Because they're saying that the players aren't having him. Well, they're not going to be it.
Yeah.
So you've gone from what clearly is a very, very good manager to, you're going to have to go for someone now who's either desperate for a job or the money to keep us up. You either give it Stowell and Sadler to the end of the season and finish bottom and don't win a game again. And then in the summer, you've got to go for a young, up-and-coming, hungry manager. That's the only way you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's no forward planning whatsoever from the club. I've said it 100 times. It's the board. They're culpable.
Yeah. No, I think we're all in agreement on that one. Right. Let's genuinely lighten the mood a little bit and play some Who Are You? Conscious of time. And lots of moaning today. understandably so. But let's play Who Are You?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right then, must mention as well, the amount of people that are still coming over and saying they listen to the podcast, whatever, and see it, the King Power, and then lots of away games as well. It's great to hear, and very much appreciative that so many of you are listening, and appreciate the positive feedback. Who is on Who Are You? Jordan, is it you?
It's me.
It is you.
Because I'm so useless at this, I thought I'd go for a really hard one to try and stump you.
Well, it's not stumping us, it's stumping Rick. The guy is a machine. I'm hoping that very hungover, looking, feeling sorry for himself, Ric Flair. This is where me and Jack can get him.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to have the brain capacity for this. We'll see.
Can you remember your own name?
Which one?
Yeah, exactly. I was saying that actually earlier. You know, I was saying this actually to my mum. She goes, "There's a lot of swearing on the podcast lately." I said, "Yeah." I said, "To be honest, mum, I think we need to maybe just rein it in a little bit." We spoke about, you know, what we'll do for a living. So it's quite, maybe we're taking it a little bit too far. And I said, but Rick's all right, because Rick ain't even bloody Rick. You can say what you want, mate. The rest of us say maybe needs to be a little bit careful. But I mean, you got free reign, mate. The club are never going to find you.
That's it.
Unless your season ticket is down as Ric Flair, but I highly doubt that. So, yeah, come on then, Jordan, mate. Try stumpers or start, right. try stump Rick.
I'm gonna try and get you with this one. So, first clue, as always, I was born on the 24th of June, 1985. So that makes him 37.
Okay, cool. I like the era already. This is a bit of me. I'm feeling it.
No guesses so far.
No, of course not. Come on.
Okay, he currently plays semi-professional football for Ramsbottom United, and he is the captain.
David Bell.
No, good guess. But actually, we played against David Bell a couple
You've
of years ago.
You've already told this story, mate.
Yeah.
Ben Marshall. Ben.
No.
Because he was playing semi-professional.
He's younger than that. Ben's younger than that.
Okay.
Oh, that was the best chant ever. he told a fan to fuck off as well.
Yeah. Right. Okay. He made 6 appearances for Leicester City, scoring no goals.
Nice.
And I'll further that by saying, oh no, yeah, that's right. But he scored in his career a total of 15 goals from what looks roughly like, I'd say, 400 appearances. I've not got his full appearance. I've got his club list. So,
are they 400 professional appearances? Or has he played independent non-league for a long time?
I would say he has only played non-league for the last... Well, since 2016. The rest of it was a decent EFL career.
Harry Worley?
No.
He might be older than that now. Probably is.
It's not Joe Mattock.
It's not Joe Mattock.
Matt Heath.
It's not Matt Heath.
Don't you dare guess, Rick. You're not allowed to win today, mate.
Can we mute him again? We're just putting him back on mute.
You've only got 2 more clues, so I'm going to have to make it a little more easier.
Nah, we'll get this.
Any
we'll
clue
get this.
Currently.
Okay, we signed him. I'll give you the year. We signed him in 2010. And then loaned him back out to his former club.
Tom Kennedy.
Correct.
Yes. Rick's lost.
I'm going to have to be hung over every week now, aren't I?
For some reason, just before you said that final clue, Kennedy went into my mind. And then as soon as you said that, he went back to Rochdale, didn't he? He signed him from them and went back.
Yeah, and I was going to say...
It was a decent player, but just not quite good enough for us.
Yeah, he was a decent player, wasn't he? And then I was going to say that he was born in Bury. I thought that might give it away. But his uncle, Alan Kennedy, played for Newcastle and Liverpool, didn't he?
No, that's someone Thompson, isn't it?
Famously scored against Real Madrid, Alan Kennedy. I've had him on my TalkSport show a number of times. Nice man.
Is Alan, not related to DJ Carl Kennedy in Manchester.
No, I don't think so. I didn't know he was Tom's dad. Good little bit of information there.
So it's a very random story about people called Kennedy. But when I was at university in Manchester, there was a DJ called Carl Kennedy, who for 3 years, I believed, was the bloke out of Neighbours. Who had a residency at whatever. but it was slightly confusing because in Freshers' Week, Carl Kennedy used to turn up and do the circuit. So that's why I got confused. So there are two Carl Kennedys DJing in the Manchester area around sort of late 2006 or 2007.
I've always found it slightly bizarre about what a cult hero Dr. Carl Kennedy is from Neighbours. Because he is, though, isn't he? You're like England, he's so famous.
DJ, just used to turn up and wave his hands and everyone would cheer. It's like...
but just why did people love Dr. Carl Kennedy from Neighbours so much? Of all the characters, that was the one, wasn't it, that people loved? He became famous. Oh, yeah.
No, but his ending was very dark, actually. Harold's ending.
What happened? Was it Lou or Madge?
Well, you know, he lost his mind, didn't he, or something, and then went to the sea, and there was a very, you know, like it was he presumed drowned, but there was just a picture of his glasses at the end. I think anyway. Yeah.
I used to. It was like on at like 5:35 on weekdays. I think it was a part of my routine. Did you have a routine when you got home from school with your TV and you know exactly what time the shows were on?
Yeah, that was the rerun because the first show was at what, like 1 o'clock at lunch, wasn't it? And then they put it back on.
And I'd go all the way up to Hollyoaks at 6:30 and then usually by 7, that's where I'd have to go out to either be doing some kind of sporting activity. That was my childhood.
I used to love Robot Wars. Oh, I actually went to watch it live.
Did you really? Where is that?
With Jonathan Pierce commentating.
Yeah, robots. Stand by.
That's not Brookside.
Brookside? Yeah. Nah, that's dirty, mate.
Have you ever seen the one where the robot wars, where the children beat the grown man and someone storms off? That's brilliant.
That's a classic.
Yeah, that is classic.
And Craig Charles also followed me on Twitter when I had it as well, which I was delighted with because he was the master of mayhem.
He was.
Craig Charles does an unbelievable BBC Six Radio 6 show. I don't know whether he still does it.
Yeah, he does the soul and funk nights out,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Have you
ever been to one of them? I have.
No,
I've not.
Yeah, so it's not my usual music, but yeah, I went to one of them. It was decent.
Did he have his leather Robot Wars jacket on?
Oh, I can't remember, mate, but I'm going to guess it. No.
And that also was my first female crush, Philippa Forrester. She used to roam the pits.
I can't remember what she looked like.
She was on Blue Peter as well, I think. Definitely on Tomorrow's World.
Yeah. Right. Should we mention Man City as soon as that's next, or should we just presume we're all going to say the same thing? It's a free hit, and we've not got a manager. So, I mean, is there anything anyone to add? Because it's going to be one of them, isn't it?
What's the highest ever score there's ever been in the Premier League?
Is it 9-0?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it might be the most Leicester City thing ever, wouldn't it?
What if we go and win, or lose 11-0? I mean, one of the two.
I think our club record defeats 10-0, isn't it, to Forest?
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that.
I think Christ. So.
I think Jack's frozen as well.
You froze for me. I'm back. I was just saying it would be the most Leicester City thing ever if we got you know, after winning 9-0, we go down and one of the final results we get is 10-0 against. Oh, yeah.
Well, the club record's 12-0 in 1909. Just googled it. Can we beat that?
Oh dear. Well, anyway, I remember I mentioned a little while ago as well, I'm heading to Malaga, aren't I? So I wasn't going to be available to do the podcast. I don't know why, because I am going to be around, but it's going to be another one of them occasions where I'm not going to have seen the game at all. Because I've got my race on the Saturday and I've got a fly back Sunday morning. Can
I come with you?
Well, you can do, but you're going to have to get on the same flight as me back on Sunday morning. So I fly out on Wednesday. I'm going to have a few days to kind of chill and have a bit of a holiday. Then I've got my race on Saturday. And then also once you do your race, you go out for a few drinks to celebrate, right? But when I booked it, I completely forgot that I've got work on the Sunday back here in London, which is in the afternoon, early afternoon. So I've got to fly back from Malaga or Marbella at 7 a.m. in the morning on Sunday. So when you consider I've got to get to the airport a couple of hours beforehand, I'm going to have to leave at about 4 a.m. from my villa or from wherever I am at that point. I'm just going to have a couple of hours sleep on the flight and then an hour back at home, hopefully, unless I'm delayed by anything, and then straight to work. So I'm going to be absolutely dreading that. So come Sunday evening when we do the podcast, I'm going to be broken and I'm not going to have seen the game, but I'll be here, but I'll probably be about as quiet as Rick.
I might just go for a really long run when the game's on, just so I can't look at my phone.
Yeah, no, absolutely dreading it. Any other business, lads, before we wrap up today's podcast? Are we all can we all go in agreement? You know, something went wrong as the title, or somebody got a better suggestion?
No, I like that one.
Yeah, let's go with that one, Jack. Any other business, mate?
Yeah, two bits for me. So obviously, I think that's our first loss when there's been a TIFO, which is a bit of a shame, but obviously a lot of money and hard work goes into doing the TIFOs. And we should probably do a plug for UniFS's collection for that, because they put in their hand in their pockets to do that. And the other thing, you know, a cause close to all our hearts, it's National IBS Month. And, you know, people say it's okay, you know, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay for your stomach not to be okay as well. And, you know, I've found solace in talking it through with you, you and fellow IBS sufferers. So if anyone wants to ever talk about IBS, I am back on Twitter and my DMs are always open. So there you go.
Wonderfully said, Jack. Thank you very much.
Of course,
Jack,
close to my heart, Jack.
Since subscribing to AG1, mate, I think your stomach will be in a lot better place.
Since hanging out with Rick, my stomach has not been in a great place.
No, and God knows what your stomach feels like. How many bottles of Gaviscon have you drunk today, Rick?
I'll do a lot. I'm a very upset bottom, actually. I'll be off in a minute, actually.
Right. Well, Rick, we'll let you go tend to that. Thank you for once again bringing light to our evening, and I hope you did enjoy the podcast. So the news, once again, Jesse Marsh has turned down Leicester. So Leicester find themselves in the situation where they've got a big decision to make about who is going to be the new manager. Lads, thank you very much, as always, for your time this evening. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll catch you all next week.
See ya.
I've got very upset, Potter. Podcast Network.